Roberto, and of course Francis, my dear colleagues, distinguished experts, ladies and gentlemen, good morning to all of you. I welcome this opportunity to look at experiences and the data they have generated since WTO was established and the landmark TRIPS agreement was reached 20 years ago. And you have heard from Roberto some of the work that has been done by WTO. Issues of intellectual property and trade are extremely important for WHO member states. And I particularly welcome today's panel. The panel will be looking at what the data have to say about the agreement and the use of its flexibilities, especially to create benefits for public health. As we all know, the negotiations that led to the agreement were highly contentious, characterized by vast differences in the views of wealthy and poorer countries. Some differences, ladies and gentlemen, and discontent linger. In the spirit of Article 7 and 8 of the agreement, the purpose of patents is not just to allow the patent holders to obtain economic returns from the grant of market exclusivity. That's important, but there are other dimensions as well. Patents promote technological innovation, and they should also contribute to the dissemination of technology and to the mutual advantage of producers and users alike. According to TRIPS, patents are granted in the public interest, including through the promotion of social and economic welfare within countries. TRIPS leaves countries some much-needed flexibility to adjust patent rights to maintain the desired balance with other important national priorities. Today, most discontent is generated by the demands of wealthy countries for intellectual property protections that go well beyond those negotiated in the TRIPS agreement. Poorer countries are concerned, they are very concerned, about the growing number of TRIPS plus negotiations or obligations that are embedded in new bilateral and regional trade agreements. Innovations that result in better medicines, vaccines, and other medical products represent great potential benefits for health. But to realize these benefits, we must ensure access for those in greatest need. An affordable price is one of the many determinants of access. Of course, there are other barriers that, impose that add to the cost of medicines. Price is one issue. Health system issues, tariff, other things need to be looked at in a total package. As we know from recent shortages of snake anti-venoms, prices have to be high, to be kept high enough to keep the companies in the market. We need to ask ourselves the question. The private sector must make profit. There's no other way out. They are not charity. If you push the price down to the level, the smartest thing for the private sector is to exit the market. And anti-venom is in dire need for many countries. And yet, there's no company who wants to produce that to save lives, to improve the well-being of people. Why? So we need to find the right balance. We need to find the right balance. But as we have also seen in recent years, there are limits to what doctors, patients, insurance companies, and politicians will consider an acceptable price, even in very wealthy countries. Ladies and gentlemen, This year's Nobel Prize in Medicine was awarded to scientists who developed drugs to treat malaria and several neglected parasitic diseases. It is good for me to see the treatment of diseases that disproportionately affect the very poor in so many countries get this kind of attention on the world stage. This sends a very important message. In matters of health, the poor deserve the very best that medicine and science can offer. Medicines have been also, they have also been making headlines for two other reasons. Strikingly high prices, especially for new drugs for various cancer indications and for hepatitis C, and speculation about how the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement might affect the market for generics and biosimilars and increase the cost of medicines. When new bilateral and regional trade and investment agreements are negotiated, member states who come and ask me for advice, I ask them to scrutinize their provisions very closely for any potential impact on access to affordable medical products. I also ask my member states to scrutinize mechanisms for the settlement of investor-state disputes that might interfere with the government's sovereign right to adopt legislation that protects citizens from harmful products like tobacco. Prices for the latest generation of hepatitis C drugs, I'm sure many of you are aware of this, some of which cost $1,000 a pill. This situation certainly has raised some very serious issues. No one questions the value of this breakthrough innovation. This innovation cures more than 90% of patients compared to previous treatment regime. After a short duration of therapy, 90% of the patients were cured. Wonderful innovation. But is it affordable? As I said, you know, the price of a pill costing $1,000 a pill raised a lot of questions. Nonetheless, I mean, among all those questions, they stimulated a lot of debate. Debate about issues of fairness. What is a fair profit for an R&D-based company? The costs have forced some national health services to ration treatment. Comes other questions. Which groups come first in a situation where you have to ration treatment? For public health, the biggest question is this: how to extend the benefits of these medicines to the developing world, where the vast majority of infected people live? Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is a question of fairness. In this regard, Egypt's experience in securing medicines to treat its high hepatitis C burden illustrates a collaborative pathway that promotes social and economic welfare within countries. Later today, we will be hearing more about their experience and also the role of voluntary license agreements that can play in improving access. Another important mechanism, the medicines patent pool, which was established following a recommendation of the WHO Global Strategy and Plan of Action for Public Health, Innovation, and Intellectual Property. The pool, which marks its fifth anniversary this year, happy birthday, has produced a remarkable track record in using license agreements to improve access to HIV treatments in middle-income as well as low-income countries. I welcome the intention of the pool to extend its work to negotiate license agreements that expand access to tuberculosis and hepatitis C treatments. The pool, with its public health or public-driven business model, has pioneered ways to improve access by partnering with the generic and the originator companies alike. This is a new system of IP management that engages industry and shows great promise for the future. So, ladies and gentlemen, the overarching goal of the Agenda for Sustainable Development, as referred to by Roberto, of course, the Director General of WTO, which was adopted by heads of states and heads of governments in New York last month, is to put the world's poor and vulnerable populations first, not last. The fair interpretation and implementation of the TRIPS Agreement can contribute to that goal. In a spirit of fairness, WHO supports an extension of the TRIPS transition period for the LDC countries, allowing them to continue to choose whether they want to grant patents on pharmaceutical products or not. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention.